Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Has this been happening, Carl?
We did have an argument last weekend, and last night kind of unearthed, I think, feelings from maybe last weekend.
I'm sorry if you're hurt.
Yeah.
Anything I can do to make you feel better, though?
No. But it's good to talk to you. I know relationships are going to have their ups and downs, but I love Lindsay, and I don't want to focus on fighting. I want to move past it. Please, can we just have it one fun night? Like, is that so hard to ask?
Hello, guys. Welcome back to Summer House. We're talking the latest episode. Was it like fireworks, cocaine accusations? No, but it was still pretty good. I think we're still firing on all cylinders, and I'm happy to be here with my friends, so let's talk about it, right? Last we left off, Lindsay was trying to shimmy through the gate to leave the house and walk down a pathless road, which really was very poetic. So Gabby goes downstairs to tell everybody, Lindsay's gone, I don't know where she is, and Sierra yells out, runaway bride. Runaway bride. Carl in his bucket hat, unfortunately he's still got that on, FaceTime his mama Sharon and stepdaddy Lou, and he tells them they're planning on doing some backyard camping. And so Lou, his stepdad, goes, oh, is Lindsay up for that? That just felt like shade. And he goes, I don't know, like, we're in a tough spot right now, and I think we're both feeling hurt by things that were said, and I got really down and sad because trying my best to communicate and share how I'm feeling without trying to hurt her or make her more upset. And I think maybe that's what happened this afternoon, unfortunately. And I saw her in the bedroom with Gabby tearing up. I don't know why. So Lindsay comes back and she tells the girls that she almost got hit by a mail truck on her walk. So there's that. So back to the FaceTime with Lou and Sharon. Carl's telling them that they had an argument last night, which was unearthed by the argument that they had last week. So Sharon's like, well, I'm sorry if you're hurt. They don't like Lindsay. And I knew this. I knew that they didn't like Lindsay last season when, oh my gosh, they were like, Lindsay and Carl had gone to some vacation house that Sharon had. Like, they weren't at the summer house one weekend. We saw a brief clip where Carl talks to his mama and she makes some comment about like Lindsay. And this comment was, and I can't remember obviously, but it was something like the vibe that they think that Lindsay is maybe a little stuck up or like not that down. like maybe a little high maintenance. And I don't know, I'm feeling like, is she going to be down for camping? Just gives me that they don't really like her that much. They really don't. So not that this matters anymore, right? So Carl says in a confessional, I know relationships have their ups and downs, but I love Lindsay and I don't want to focus on fighting. I want to move past it. So please, can we have one fun night? Like, is that so hard to ask? I told y'all last week, once you get into these relationship patterns, like, you know how everybody says once you start resenting your partner, that's when it's really over. But I also think once you get into this pattern of we're always trying to fix things and we're not able to get off the hamster wheel of this fight, or like either of us trying to be the right one and we're not actually having fun or like remembering who this person is or why you got in a relationship with them in the first place, like that's done. Donezo. And they're not getting it. They're not getting it. I saw somebody comment that they feel as though Carl forced Lindsay Hubbard into filming this season and that she's like taking the fall for like intentionally being the villain and the bad guy. You guys, I know that Scandoval happened, but we got to take the pills out of our mouth, spit it out, and rinse your mouth out with some water. We can't be like digging into these wormholes of everything is fake. And, you know, Brody Jenner's not going to come at every series finale and reveal that there's just like a green screen behind him and that everything was scripted the whole time. Like, some things have to be real. And I just like, we can't live in a world in which you say, I have an understanding of Lindsay Hubbard and Carl Radke, and that A, he would be forcing her into filming, and that B, she would be willing to be this type of villain. Lindsay's fine with being a villain, but this, where she's calling him Cocaine Carl and accusing a man who is like, people have empathy for him because of one, his brother dying of an overdose, and two, his own battle with sobriety, that she would be like willing to do this. You guys, I don't think so. I don't think Lindsay's that stupid that she would be willing to take this far. If she was gonna do that, she would have had a much better answer in her statement about like why she did the things that she did and said the things that she said. She would have been prepared. That statement, no preparation, you know? Preparation H. Preparation Hub House. You guys, we can't think about this. We gotta get back on dry land, okay? It was fun. It was fun. But we gotta be real again, okay? Okay. So anyway, Gabby takes a shot of Loverboy out of Jesse's chest. They're all like kicking it in the pool, having a good time, right? Everyone goes upstairs to get ready for camping. And Lindsay and her emotional support, Hampton Water, are basically now roommates with Gabby. So they're getting ready in their, you know, neutral jungle adjacent safari, whatever clothes, Banana Republic, whatever the fuck. And she's also kind of saying the same thing that Carl's telling his parents, like, I don't want to keep fighting. I just want to have fun today. I don't want to have any big talk. And Gabby's like, I get it, girl. Totally makes sense. But the problem is the tension is so fucking palpable in this whole house that it's really unavoidable. And it's like hard to, you know, just sweat that off, right? So Lindsay says at a confessional, who doesn't fight? Like, that's a normal thing in a relationship to do. I just want to enjoy my weekend and Danielle's camping event and like not deal with this bullshit anymore. Cut to Gabby in a confessional saying the stress of this fighting has done detrimental things to my physical appearance. And now I'm actively trying to find somebody to maybe be in a relationship with because I don't want to be the hunchback in Notre Dame. I'm not really sure what her line of thinking is there, but I liked it and I laugh and I don't disagree. I'm not sure what you're saying, but fine. The fact that Lindsay thinks that this is normal relationship stuff and fighting Oh, she really thinks that she, I know we're all like, girl, how could you have possibly been blindsided? But I think maybe she was like, if you think that this is normal, then yeah, I guess I kind of do believe that you were blindsided. But like, it really begs the question of what would have not surprised you then? Like, how bad would your relationship be for you to be like, yeah, okay, I get it, babe? Because this is like DEFCON 5 for me. How is she doing this? Oh my God, I love this show. So Daniel gives everybody colored bags, right? All different colors. They have walkie-talkies, little head flashlights, and says, you know, based on whatever color bag you got, you're paired up with, that's your partner, right? I have not seen Lindsay. This is the happiest she's been all season. When she realized that she was paired up with West, we love West. He's America's sweetheart. We all get it. But I honestly think it was less her being paired up with West and more her not being paired up with Carl. She was just thrilled. Thrilled. And then I haven't seen Sierra more unhappy this season than when she realized that she had to be paired up with Jesse. Mind you, no one needed not one of those bags, not one of the things that Danielle gave them, because the challenge was simply pitch a tent and it was like daylight. So we didn't need any of that. Also, there wasn't a winner. She was just like, let's get weird, guys. There was a loser. And so whoever lost had to make dinner, which, to be fair, Sierra was correct because she ended up losing and because Jesse didn't know what he was doing. Wes says in a confessional, if a plane crashed and I had to pick one of these people to survive with, Lindsay honestly might be one of them, don't you think? Because she'd just start bossing me around about the shitty kindling that I brought back. And honestly, I think we'd make it. Oh my gosh. So Amanda then comes up with this raunchy truth or dare after they have their dinner. Carl makes Sierra and West kiss. And whatever issues they had last episode about him telling everybody that they made out, she seems to be over that because she was perfectly chill sitting in his lap. She was koala bear'd up, okay? And he was the bamboo tree this whole episode. So I guess they're fine. They seem fine. Carl has to run around bottomless while Lindsay runs around topless. Okay. So then Jesse's about to go out. Like, it's getting late. They're about to go out for bed, but Jesse's trying to get his dick wet, it seems like. Because Gabby's like, oh, you're going out? Let me look through your Raya. Let me see, you know, what the talent is. I'm trying to figure out why was Jesse on Raya now? Like, at that point in the show, how did he get on Raya?
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
It's just, it's the dimples, right? Because I'm not on Raya, because I'm not on any, never mind. But the point is, like, I was of the understanding that Raya was for the, like, the, you know, blue checks, the verified people, the people who were in the industry. But what does Jesse do? What does he do? What does he do? Has he ever said? So Jesse shows Gabby a girl on the app, and he's like, you know, I don't think I'm going to be into this girl, but, you know, good enough. She's 2 minutes away. So he just takes an Uber or a Lyft. I don't know. We got to specify on the show to go out and meet her. And then, oh my God, the fuckboy prophecy, the manifesto, he just says it word for fucking word in a confessional. I hope there's a girl out there to make me not care about any other girl, but I'm just out here looking for girls all the time, and, you know, I would like that to stop, but maybe that doesn't go away, and I just need to grow up and get ready, but I'm not ready. See, and this is a shit that is going to waste a bunch of women's time all over Manhattan, Brooklyn, and some parts of northern New Jersey, sir. I'm just looking for that girl to make me forget about every other girl. Shut the fuck up, Jesse. But, like, thank you for being on the show. You're perfect. So everybody cuddles up in the tent, and Wes and Sierra share one with each other, and Wes is talking about, you know, like, how this is great, because now they don't have to do the awkward, like, oh, you know, everybody knows that we're about to go into one person's bedroom. It's a neutral situation, like, perfect loophole, right? Did y'all see Amanda brushing her teeth in the tent? Ew, where does she put the toothbrush after that? Why didn't you just brush your teeth inside? And then she's telling him, Kyle, don't touch me. It's too hot. Like, actually physically, like, pushing this man away multiple times. Multiple times. It starts raining, so everybody starts streaming back into the house. But Amanda wakes up that morning. She's, like, fresh as a daisy, right? Telling Kyle, you know, this could be the Amanda that you get all the time. Amanda 2.0 that gets a full night's sleep. It was so great sleeping in the tent, the sunlight, blah, blah, blah. I don't really know what she's talking about, because the reason why y'all left the tent is because it was raining. So you're acting like you were bathed in sunlight for, like, fucking Snow White. I don't think that's what happened. The little birds opened up your tent and gave you some coffee, put your toothbrush back in the bathroom. Like, I don't think that's what happened. But this turns into a conversation about how Amanda wants to move to New Jersey. She wants to be back with her parents. She wants to sit on the front porch while her mom makes some Aperol spritzes, and she wants to have babies because her parents really want to have grandkids. And what great life it is on the other side of the bridge. You could see the life draining out of Kyle's face. He does not want to move to New Jersey. As Amanda's talking on and on about how she does not like living in the city. And he's like, but okay, well, we have to have another year's lease on our office. That's like, because they have an office that's like in the same building as the apartment that they live in. She's like, I know. That's why I think we should just get a little spot out in New Jersey so I can escape, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you're really pushing Jersey hard, aren't you? And like, no shade. But I'm for sure the Kyle in this situation, like, really? Okay. New Jersey is for those people who love it. And the people who love it down. And I love that for you. However, it's just not my ministry, you know? I'm with Kyle. Like, oh no. Oh no. And here's like another thing where I'm like, okay, maybe this would be a great time to just call it. You know? Like, let's just call it. Because Amanda, you know this. And what I mean by that is Kyle does not want to live in New Jersey. He does not want to have this domesticated lifestyle. I actually think he'd be maybe more invested or interested in having kids if he didn't have to move to New Jersey. I don't know. I actually think that he would. But I think that I'm going to take Kyle out of it. I think in general, people don't want to, like, people don't give a fuck about, like, their partner's parents' wishes. Like, I feel like Amanda knows that, too. Like, she knows that even if you love, like, let's say you love your in-laws, right? Would you really, like, but, like, you loved where you lived, and you love the lifestyle that you have right now, and your partner was to say, like, but my parents really want us to blank, have kids, move closer to them, blah, blah, blah. You'd be like, okay, well, I don't care, you know, because it's my life, you know, and I'm not going to be running my life by your parents, you know? Like, I'm just not going to do that. Love you guys, smooches, but that's just not how the world works, you know, like, and it's no shade. It's just fact, right? And Amanda has to know that. Like, he doesn't care. This defense about, like, my parents, and their timeline. It's like, he doesn't care. Like, you know that, girl. So I just feel like you guys know that you want very different things. So maybe we should just call it now before children get involved, you know? So after that, we have to go to our second most dysfunctional. Well, our second dysfunctional couple, but also our most dysfunctional couple. Carl and Lindsay are talking in bed, and, you know, it's just the typical, oh, you know, it was so great to have a good, fun time with you, finally, and great us to be able to snap out of our funk last night. And so Carl's like, listen, I'm sorry I got so frustrated. I'm sorry we got to that level and I made you uncomfortable. Lindsay says, I appreciate that. I just don't even know where it even got to that point. You don't? How is that possible, babe? Carl says, listen, that night I was getting a little frustrated and annoyed. I should have gone home because I was tired. And then we see a flashback of him being tired, aka being tired of looking over at Lindsay, spilling her drink all over the table and threatening to take the ring back, you know. And he says, you know, like, I just felt like I was trying to communicate that I was tired and that wasn't being received, right? And Lindsay says, well, I just feel like we kept missing each other, right? Like two shifts in the night. And he says, I just don't want it to continue to escalate to something more. And she says, okay, well, let's just address it in couples therapy. So after that, Jesse invites, because they're like about to go back to the city. Lindsay and Gabby are going to go to lunch. Jesse invites the house to go to SoulCycle. Carl, Sierra, Wes all decide to go with him, right? So Carl, as they're doing their little spinning, is saying working out is a key to him maintaining his sobriety, basically. And he has this crazy brain, so he calls it, those were his words, and a way to quiet the noise, especially when he's having conflicts with Lindsay, is to, you know, spin it, sweat it out, girl. So afterwards, they all sit down and gossip, right? They're having their green juices. They're like, oh, what a great time. And Wes is like, you know what? Imagine how much better this would have been if we all, except for Carl, hadn't drank tequila last night and slept on the fucking grass. So Jesse says to everybody, but mostly to Carl, I would really love to see a weekend where Lindsay and Carl are not in a fight. And then he looks at Carl and he goes, third time's a charm? Like, maybe this third weekend we can get it together? And Carl says, yes. So Carl says that last night was just like a very silly, light, fun night, probably exactly what they needed, right? So Sally Jesse Solomon asks the good questions. He puts those red glasses on metaphorically. And he's like, let's get down to it, okay? Asking, has Lindsay apologized for accusing you of doing drugs yet? Carl has to be like, if she did, I honestly don't recall it. But I don't think she realizes how hurtful that can be. So Sierra reveals a lot more about herself. And she says, Carl, accusing you of breaking your sobriety is a really strong accusation considering how far you come. And it feels like we only get to these situations with you two when there's alcohol involved with her. So then she reveals that her dad is a volatile drunk. She has not spoken to him in a year and she can't deal with him. And she says in a confessional, I would hate to bring a child into this situation, the situation that I grew up in. And seeing you guys, watching Carl and Lindsay acting like this, knowing that Lindsay wants to have children like yesterday, she just doesn't feel like this is a great idea. It makes her uneasy. So she tells him, listen, I know you love Lindsay. And she's not like the worst person in the world, but you cannot sacrifice yourself in order to bring out potential in her. Like, I'm not saying she's a bad person. I'm not saying you shouldn't get married. But you have to kind of acknowledge that, like, this is going to be where you're going to be for the rest of your life if this is where you're at right now. Honestly, that is the best advice that anybody has given Carl. Not to say that anybody's been wrong, but they've, you know, like, a lot of this has been coded in their dislike of Lindsay. And I'm not saying that's different for Sierra, but she's coming from a place of, like, actual experience and saying, I'm the child having to deal with this fucked up dynamic with my parents. My mom finally got out of it, thank God. But, like, you guys could really be in a situation. Don't do it. So after that, we head back into the city. Craig is up from Charleston, and Paige is going to call her real estate agent about getting a bigger apartment, right? Paige says in a confessional that, yeah, she values Craig's opinion, so she wants him to be excited about where they're going to be living in the city, even though it is her apartment. What she says goes, and he's going to get what he gets in terms of a closet, and that's it, okay? So she tells the lady that her current apartment is $8,500. It's a two-bedroom, and she's willing to go up to $9,000. So, a couple things. First of all, I screamed. I screamed. Because I know where Paige lives, and I'm like, girl, that's not an $8,500 neighborhood, girl. Like, that's wild to me. Like, it's centrally located, but it's also, like, not the vibe. And that's all I'll say about that. So that's, like, really crazy. That's, like, really crazy, girl. But anyway, so the realtor asks her, oh, is your apartment going to be for you or you and your boyfriend? And Paige is like, oh, wow, you're really putting me on the spot here. But she says, you know, he's here half the time. He's in Charleston half the time. So, like, technically it's for both of us, but I'm here a lot of the time by myself. Here's another thing. I heard a lot of people wanting to, like, call bullshit on Paige and be like, oh, you had a lot to say about the Rad House apartment being $13,000. And you're willing to pay $9,000 on your own, which is, you know, significantly more than they would be paying splitting it, right? And here's my thing. First of all, a lot of it, I think, is like, this relationship is not a relationship that y'all should be in. And so, is this a good idea? Because one of y'all is going to end up being saddled with $13,000, and that's not good. You know, like, she was predicting the future. I don't really want to be a Paige apologist, but, like, this is where I'm thinking. Also, like, Paige does a lot of shit. She's getting a lot of Amazon checks, you know, outside of this show. Like, I think she's probably, maybe outside of Kyle's, probably doing the best outside of, like, financial, like, her checks are probably looking real nice outside of the show. And I think she can probably more than afford it on her own. Was there going to be another point to that? No. I honestly think, like, most of her concern, if you want to call it that, was mostly just shade, because she was like, this relationship is not the one. Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to saddle yourself to this apartment? And she was right to do that, because here we are. Carl's now still paying that rent until their lease is over. So how'd that go? More on that later, because I'm going to be shady in another comment about that later. So anyway, Jesse and Wes go to Gloss Lab. Gloss Lab Nomad. Shout out to them. I've been there a time or two getting their nails did. So Jesse, they're just like catching up, getting pedicures. We didn't really need that many close-up shots of their feet, but fine. So Jesse's like, what's good? Did you go on any dates with Sierra? Asking the questions again. Yeah, I did. We had a movie Monday night, you know, and then afterwards we kind of stood on the corner where we would go our separate ways. And then she was like, oh, you know, come check out my apartment. And they had a sleepover. I mean, he oversells it a little bit, because what happens is they just fell asleep on the couch accidentally, and he still has not made it past first base. That's fine. They've only known each other a week and a half at this point. You know, it's good. Jesse again, real messy. Wes, do you think that you're, like, really in a place to be dating right now, considering your job situation? And this is how we find out that Wes got laid off. Poor that. RIP to basically everybody's job in media, 2023-2024. Who the hell's writing these days? I don't know. Not West. I actually think West might be employed again, but, you know, whatever. So he says, like, yeah, no, he says he feels like he is ready. But that, you know, I kind of thought I'd just jump right into another media gig. Didn't happen. Am I scared? A little bit, but we're a few months out from being real scared. So shout out to Bravo, shout out to Evolution or whatever production company, because, you know, y'all ate that with a check in the 13th hour, right? So then Wes is like, well, what are you doing? How are you going to react to Craig being in the house this weekend? And he's like, well, if he's not nice to me, then, like, that's on him, because I'm a nice guy. I was like, yeah. Well, the problem is you're a little too nice to his girlfriend. So that's really on you. But I'm liking the way you're attempting to spin this, right? So he says in a confessional, you know, there's a small part of me that, you know, thinks, I hope this guy's chill, because he could take this the wrong way and, like, try to beef with me, but, like, if he's going to be weird about it, then I'm just going to have to be weird back. And so a producer says, what is weird? What does that look like for you, Jesse? And he goes, I would have to hit on Paige. And then he just starts laughing. What is wrong with this man? He's like a true, like a new supreme, a fuckboy supreme has arrived. Get ready, bitches. Jesse Solomon is stopping the scene. And the fact that he's like turning this into like, well, I've done nothing wrong. And if Craig's going to be weird about it, then my hand is going to be forced. And I'm just going to have to hit on his girlfriend. You know, the logic. Speaking of Craig, on the way there, he's driving up and Paige says, okay, if we were only 6 months into our relationship and I turned to you and said, I was a witch, would you break up with me? And he's like, no, I really wouldn't care. And she goes, okay, well, I would break up with you if you were a witch. And he says, well, can boys be witches? I mean, I really get it now. I really get them now. I really do. So Amanda and Lindsay drive back together and they're like, man, I would pay $1.99 to see what that conversation was the entire time from the city to the Hamptons. And Lindsay is telling her that Carl's waiting on a very important package. So he's going to hang back in the city, get it, and come out, drive out in the morning, right? Amanda says in a confessional, like, she's weary and wary, right? In the past, Carl and Lindsay have been able to at least portray the fact or pretend to that they have this loving relationship, but obviously something more is going on. Like, she's acting happy now, but I don't believe it, right? Kyle's at a family reunion. Amanda says, I don't even know why they call it at this point. Maybe it was at some point, but they see each other all the time. I don't know. So Sierra and Lindsay are going to be teaming up to make a Southern dinner for everybody. So Sierra says in a confessional that they've been texting all week, and this is probably the most she and Lindsay have ever spoken. She also says, and I can say this as another Georgia girl, that Lindsay is Southern. Lindsay's from Florida, so she's not Southern. Okay? And I don't care if that hurts anybody's feelings. It's the truth. It's the truth. And you can point to the map all you want. That's not the South. That's Florida. It's very different. It's a very different thing. Moving on. Paige tells everybody, like, how she was looking at an apartment that didn't really look much bigger than the one she's already got. And then they told her it was $12,000 a month. So Lindsay asks Craig if he would be willing to, or if he's planning on helping in on the rent. And so Craig says, well, I did tell Paige, like, if she finds a really sick apartment that's over her budget, I'm willing to play the difference, but we haven't really spoken about it. But Paige is in a confessional. A lot of interesting things, I thought. You know, I wouldn't open a bank account or get a car with Craig without being married. I just really don't want to do that because I don't want to be in a lurch. No, you guys know who have a car together? Anyway, and then she says to Lindsay, what if something happens? What am I going to do? Am I going to call him every month and be like, hey, where's your portion? Yeah. Great questions, Paige. Foreshadowing. And then she says, I don't want to feel like I owe Craig anything. And I don't want him to have any sort of say in what happens in my apartment. And I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. And I also don't see, like, I feel like people are making this seem like this is some sort of indication that Paige and Craig are on shaky ground or the relationship isn't as deep as it is. But I think that's probably pretty normal for two people that live, they're in a long distance relationship. I would imagine that most of them probably keep their finances separate. I wouldn't think that was that strange if they have their own homes. Like, nobody's asking Paige if she's kicking up money on his mortgage, right? So, I don't know. Kyle arrives to the house, and Craig tells him that he hasn't had liquor since the September of last year. So Kyle asked Paige, did you have any sort of role in that? And she says, no, but I do think that, like, maybe Craig would see my face sometimes when he would do something and get embarrassed, basically. Craig says he was coming from a place of realizing that there's a difference between just a fun boyfriend and a husband, father. And you realize that you don't go from one to the other without doing some work. And Amanda goes, Kyle's still trying to figure that out. So then Paige says, you know, I do think that maybe I tricked Craig into getting better. And he goes, no, no, this was on my own journey. So after that, Wes asks the boys if they want to take a little dip in the pool. Because one thing about him, he's going to take a little cannonball situation. Unfortunately, I have to admit something and be honest with you guys. It was at this moment that Craig joined him to go to the pool. And I realized that Craig has been working out. And he might be getting a little thick, which unfortunately is my favorite physical type. And, you know, I really hated that for me. I really did. So prayers up.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And keep me lifted as I am going through a very difficult time. Anyway, we gotta move along. Okay, it's like the dimples were enough, but this is too far. This is too far, okay? Too far. Kyle shows Craig the new design that Amanda did for their lover boy spritz. A little bit, like, pat you on the head. Good job, kiddo. Like, oh, yeah, she's really great when she puts her mind to it. Okay, thanks. Also, I'm confused because I thought she didn't actually design that. And they, like, never mind. Craig says, how is it working with her? Like, you're working, you're living together. Do you think it would be better if maybe, like, Amanda worked somewhere else? And Kyle says, well, she's been working with me from the start. So there is, like, a sense of ownership on her part, or at least I hope so. And so it's hard because, like, we do very different things. Amanda needs a lot more time to decompress than I do. So Kyle asks Craig, what about you not drinking liquor anymore? Because I thought maybe this was a situation where maybe Paige wanted you to do something and you were following her lead. But Craig says, no, he's been on a healing journey. Okay. A whole mental health, mind, body, thickness journey. He loves Paige, but he's becoming the best version of himself for himself. So if they work out, great. And if they don't, it's not the end of the world. So Kyle says, wait, do you think that there's a chance that you guys don't work out? And Craig says, well, yeah, of course. Like, there's a very high probability. We live in different places. I got a business in Charleston. I love it there. She loves living in New York. So it would be very naive of us to think that, oh, everything's just going to work out. Kyle says in a confessional, I respect Craig and Paige. And I respect the fact that they've been able to make this long distance thing work. Because usually it just doesn't. Or somebody tries to take advantage of the situation by, you know, cheating, right? So I'm rooting for them. We're all rooting for them. But this is also the first time I've heard any sort of doubts from Craig. Because last summer he was saying there was no doubt in his mind that they would be engaged by the end of the year. So Kyle tells him, well, at some point, something's going to have to give with you guys. And that, I'm in the same place with me and Amanda. She really wants that house and that life in New Jersey. I'm not there yet, but something, at some point, I'm going to have to make that sacrifice. So then he says, it kind of sounds like maybe a lot of your relationship is driven by what Paige wants and needs. And Craig says, listen, in a perfect world, I'd have a little bit more security towards us getting married and having kids. She's told me that's what we're going to do. So I have to believe her and like put my insecurities and impatience aside. But my patience isn't going to last forever. And that's sort of the risk. I guess for me, this isn't really hitting because I watched Southern Charm and I saw the scene where they were talking about that. And Craig said, right to Paige's face, basically this very same thing of I've been working on myself and I'm at a point where like, I love you and I want to be with you and I want this to work. But I also know that if we weren't to work, I'm in a very good place mentally and otherwise, and I would be okay. And I don't recall Paige really blinking or batting an eye at that. So to me, this is not like, oh, what's going to happen with them? Because the problem with this relationship is that we're seeing what's up with them all year round on Southern Charm or Summer House or used to be Winter House. So if you watch all of them, you really see that there's not really an issue if you watch the thing before it, you know, but that involves a whole lot of doing. So I could see why production thinks that they can get away with that. But like, that's why you guys have me, isn't it? So back to Solomon, Jesse, Raphael. They're all like in the hot tub around the pool, shirts off, titties out, you know, asking, hey, do you guys know where Carl is? Do you guys know why he's not here? As though he doesn't know the answer to this. Messy boots, okay? So Craig says, oh, well, Lindsay told us that Carl was really excited about the theme party for tomorrow and he ordered something special for it, so he was going to pick it up. And Jesse goes, oh, that's an interesting excuse, but we all know that's not why he's here. That's not why he's not here. So Wes goes, oh, I didn't even put that together, that he wasn't coming. And then he reveals to the boys that Carl told him last week at SoulCycle that he wasn't coming on Friday, like at all. Already pre-planned. So we see a flashback where they're having that conversation and Carl says, you know, maybe in order to kind of break the cycle of our Friday night fights, I'm just going to hang back and try to change the outcome, right? So then Kyle says, you know what, you guys, by the looks of it, from people who've been at the apartment, it kind of seems like they might not be sleeping together. What did I tell y'all last week? I told y'all it was giving. Something in that conversation where she was like, should I go sleep somewhere else? I'm like, y'all are too easy breezy about this. I don't think you're sleeping together. It's just like so wild that I'm right all the time. It's like wild. Like even for me, it's wild, you know? So then Kyle says, listen, they seem to have deep rooted issues in the relationship and I'm worried for them. So the episode ends. Woo! Woo, 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 woo. Lindsay had brought up a bunch of stuff. You know, she wanted to dress all Southern for the dinner. So she asked Paige, yo, can I like try some things on and you tell me what I should wear? So Amanda goes into the room and they're all just like helping Lindsay dress, right? And Amanda keeps saying, oh man, you shouldn't wear this one because I feel like Carl would really miss seeing you in this. I feel like he would really love to see you in that one. So don't wear this one. Try this one on, right? So then she tries on this like black and white polka dot, like kind of vintage, like retro, very cute, right? And Amanda's like, I love that. It's like this really sexy kind of housewife vibes, like a bad housewife. Like she's going to clean, she's going to make a roast. She's going to have like, you know, a little bit more of her titty out than would be befitting for 1960s, you know? And she goes, again, too bad Carl isn't here to see it. And so Lindsay goes, I don't know. I feel like Carl isn't a very sexual person. And Paige says, you know what? I can see that. Like, I feel like you are just like in general, like you're open, you talk about sex and he's just a little bit more reserved. So then Paige says, by the way, how often are you guys having sex? And Lindsay looks around like, like once every couple weeks. And Paige goes, Lindsay, what the fuck, dude? You gotta change that. And so Lindsay goes, yeah, you're probably having more sex with your long distance boyfriend. And Paige goes, yeah, Lindsay, we're fucking all the time. So Amanda says, listen, me and Kyle are almost 10 years into our relationship, so don't judge what we're doing now as to, like, what's going on with you guys. But I'll tell you, year two into our relationship, we were having sex every day, Lindsay. So, but I'm like, okay, but Amanda, how much sex are you having now? Like, since, like, Lindsay just spilled. And so did Paige, technically. So, like, what's your answer? What's your answer? Didn't hear that. So then, Paige really kills me. She says in a confessional, people tend to lie a little bit about how much sex they're having. So if she's saying once every couple weeks, then girl math, carry the one, that's 6 weeks. I don't make the rules, but that's alarming. And she's right. She's right. Before she even said, I'm like, she was looking around and was like, let me say 2 weeks. It's gotta be a lot more than that, babe. Oh no. Oh no. So Amanda says, but when you guys have sex, is it good? And Lindsay's like, yes, it's so good. It's such good sex. And Amanda's like, well, just, you know, like rip the Band-Aid off. Like, just do it again. And remember how good it is. Like, it seems like maybe at this point it's this built up thing. You guys are both too in your head about it. Just enjoy it. If you both really like having sex and you enjoy it, then just do it. But Lindsay goes, yeah, but your fucking boyfriend and your husband are initiating. Mine doesn't even initiate. And again, Lindsay, what were you blindsided about? You're entirely too young to be in a sexless, we're not even sleeping together in the same bed relationship. And it's fine if, like, y'all aren't sleep compatible, and that's fine. But, like, there's got to be some sort of intimacy happening. It doesn't seem to be happening at all. No emotional, no sexual, no mental intimacy. And y'all aren't fucking, and y'all aren't even sharing a bed together. So, like, what were you surprised about? Was this really the marriage that you wanted to tether yourself to for the rest of your life at 38? It couldn't possibly be. Like, you're too young for that. Like, that's wild. Save the sex relationship for when you're, like, 70 and just want somebody to hold hands with and watch Family Feud, you know? Like, y'all aren't physically capable of fucking. This ain't it, girl. This ain't it. Lord, help us all. Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, not y'all not fucking. Not y'all not fucking. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're able to give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I would greatly appreciate it. If it's going to be lower than that, you know, maybe just have a great weekend and forget about it, you know? Thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.